is I will very briefly give some introductory remarks, which are part of the first two lectures are really of a package. So going over the material that was specifically presented, that was slated for today, but it overlaps with some of the things from last time. I can keep this down to 25 minutes or so. Then what I propose we do is break down into probably five groups to keep them small. Four or five, or to do a count at that point. And what I'd like each of the groups to do then is for a half hour in a small group decide on a issue or problem would you like the entire class to discuss. So the purpose of the small group is to discuss the material, but specifically to discuss it with an eye to setting an agenda for the bigger discussion. And you are?
Jorge.
There you are.
Hi, I'm Pines. Pines. Thank you.
Sure. So we'll take a break after the small group discussion and then reconvene. There'll also be time for anyone who wants to ask questions then that apart from the small groups. There'll be time in that larger discussion just to pose questions and launch things. Mary? Yeah. I think there's a seat between Alex and David there.
I can just put a chair up there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Last time, I raised just the terminological issue about the use of the term Marxism versus Marxist tradition as defining the body of ideas, the theoretical problems we'll be discussing. There's a parallel problem which has to do with the use of the self-designation Marxist. What does it mean to make the proclamation, I am a Marxist, right? To use that as a self-designation. It's entirely possible to have one's intellectual work, one's scholarly production, entirely contained within the Marxist tradition without having that additional symbolic declaration, I am a Marxist. The declaration of personal identity is a political act. It's not just a way of locating oneself within the theoretical space. It's announcing something to the world. And that, therefore, depends very heavily on context. What language is the appropriate one in a given context to define oneself, to announce a public identity. I gave a talk in 1985 in Poland on these kinds of themes, focusing on my analysis of class and exploitation, in which I described this as Marxist work and that I was dealing with a particular problem within the Marxist tradition that needed solving, and I differentiated it from Weberian and other approaches, and I really tried to establish the pedigree of this argument as Marxist and that it was contributing to a reconstruction of Marxism. At the end of the talk, somebody said, the first question was, they said, you know, that's extremely interesting. They thought the analysis I was proposing of classes in Poland made a lot of sense, but they said, this has nothing whatsoever to do with Marxism. Why? You're completely confusing the whole analysis by saying this is Marxist. Now, for them, to declare something as Marxist is to declare its identity with the Polish state and its legitimating ideology. It was to declare that this is a body of ideas in defense of central authoritarian bureaucratic planning in a one-party state ruled by an idiotic, know-nothing communist degenerate elite, right? You know, that's what saying this is Marxist meant to that audience. I mean, at least that's how they described it. Whereas when I was being formed as a young intellectual, you know, when I was your age, and I was a graduate student at the University of California, just in the waning days of the student movement and still in the thick of the anti-war movement, to declare oneself a Marxist was to position oneself with respect to American academic life and political movements as steadfastly committed to an oppositional stance, and to protect oneself in a way from the pressures of co-optation. And I actually thought of it in those terms. You know, there was a point in the early 70s as I was beginning to publish things, and the question is, if I publish a piece, do I say at the beginning of the piece, with bold letters, so to speak, this piece is contributing to the reconstruction of Marxism, or do I say, you know, there's a lot of interesting ideas out there in the world, and some of them come from the Marxist tradition. Let's see what we can do with those ideas. I could have written my stuff on class that way. Would have been entirely possible. I don't think any of the ideas required for their credibility as intellectual products, such a self-conscious situating within, as a contribution to rebuilding Marxism. I could have just been using Marxism rather than rebuilding Marxism. Well, I explicitly, in my own thinking, felt, no, I wanted to locate myself as contributing to Marxism because I wanted to make it harder to just drift into the mainstream. It was a kind of protective act, the metaphor of Ulysses and the Sirens. Ulysses, knowing the seductions of the sirens, tells the sailors to tie him to the mast, and when he confronts this dangerous part, to not follow his orders. That's the key metaphor of the Ulysses and the Sirens story, is that Ulysses tells his subordinates to ignore his commands, knowing that in the future he'll be weak, he'll have weakness of will, that he will act in a self-destructive way. And therefore, to prevent that, he ties himself to the mast. Well, you know, in a certain way, declaring oneself in the American academic scene in the 1970s as a Marxist has that kind of self-protective character. It's a way of reducing the hazards of drift. Now, I've been asked, well, that was, of course, perfectly reasonable 30 years ago. What about 2009? You know, I mean, this is 30 years later. Am I just stubborn? Is it just because I have such heavy sunk costs in the Marxist tradition that I can't bear to abandon the terminology of my youth? I think that's a real question. I mean, what am I getting at this point? I'm talking about the I am a Marxist part, not the working in the Marxist tradition. I have no hesitation whatsoever about declaring this as working in the Marxist tradition, because that's just a statement of fact. It is, the work I do is firmly located within this tradition of thought, within these sets of preoccupations. For those of you who are sociologists, in the context of the American Sociological Association, there is a section of the association called the Marxist section. And I do go to some of their panels at the ASA, but I often find them a little embarrassing because they're often very old-fashioned, kind of doctrinaire. They reflect the kind of cognitive stance towards this material that I think is very limiting, where the emphasis is on I'm exaggerating a little, but not entirely, is on faithfulness to Marx rather than pushing forward the ideas that will increase our ability to deal with the complexities of human emancipation. So in that context, then it does become an issue, well, what's the point of saying I am a Marxist? This is just being nostalgic for a time when that actually defined a line of division. Well, I think fortunately, for my own psychological sense of these identities, the world has changed again, and we're now back in a time where defining oneself and adopting labels which define an oppositional stance towards mainstream thinking, which is beginning to have a renewal with greater interest and vitality, as I think expressed in the fact that this class is once again larger than it has been for some time. Maybe that the term is revived for for those identity reasons. Okay, that's a little biographical detour just to follow up from some of that particular theme from the last lecture. All right, let me just say a couple of things. I'm again, just to repeat, absolutely assuming you've read the lecture notes. I think they're written as coherent text so that I don't need to go through every point on them. Let me just emphasize two things. First, I just want to talk about the way I've broken down the Marxist tradition as a body of ideas in the readings that you did, what I refer to as the three nodes of the Marxist tradition. So there's many different ways that you approach a body of ideas. There's many different ways you could approach exploring them. Right? So a standard way that sociologists do it is to teach sociological theory through the history of thought. So we could do a discussion of the Marxist tradition by beginning with Marx and Engels, by tracing the various strands of European Marxism and Marxism of the South that developed in the course of the 20th century, and just trace the history of thought in these different strands of ideas. That's one way of doing it. Another strategy for approaching a body of ideas is a kind of sociology of knowledge approach, where you ask the question, what is it about the historical setting that generates these particular debates and forms of thought and divergences? And that would lead you in a different way. You would look at the key junctures in the development of this tradition and what were the social conditions that informed different ways of elaborating and pursuing ideas in those different contexts. I have preferred to approach this problem through what I would call an analytical reconstruction of the ideas, to try to create an inventory of particular concepts and theories and see how they cluster, and then to look at each of them and see which ideas are most well-grounded and which ones need the most additional work and which ones perhaps should be abandoned altogether. This can be called the analytical reconstruction of a structure of thought or a framework of thought. Rather than a sociology of knowledge, I'm not going to particularly discuss where particular ideas came from in terms of the social conditions in which they were produced, and not, in general, a discussion of the history of these particular ideas. In those terms, I see the Marxist tradition as a more of a modular system of ideas, rather than a completely integrated paradigmatic framework of the sort in which you have to buy it all or it all falls apart. It's not all or nothing. There are different clusters of ideas. Some of them are internally quite tightly connected, and some of them are internally, even within the cluster, loosely connected. There is a cluster of ideas, for example, around the labor theory of value, which are extremely interesting, tightly connected, very much of a logical structure, with coherent elements. That has generated lots of internal debates over the specificities of different components. But that's separate from whether that cluster is essential for the rest of the theoretical tradition that we call the Marxist tradition. Do you need the labor theory of value and all the things that come with that in order to see, yes, the theory of the state that's developed within this tradition is a powerful and important one and is largely intact. It needs some modifications in contemporary contexts, but those are modifications that are extensions and deepening of ideas that were already present. So I am very much of the view that Marxist theories of the states are very powerful and coherent. They help explain why, when people ask me, am I disappointed in Obama, I say that this is pretty much what I expected. You know, I'm disappointed that the world is not such that Obama could be very different from the way things are going. But my theories of the state say that one person elected in a enthusiastic rejection of some idiotic policies of the past is not enough for a radical breakthrough in the configurations of state policy. And that's exactly what we face. So my theory is pretty much consistent with the way things are going. So I think the theories of the state and I think theories of ideology are very good. I think theories of class within the Marxist tradition have been deepened and elaborated in ways which I've contributed to, which I think remains extremely powerful and interesting and probably more useful now than it was, I hope, a while ago. But I don't think the labor theory of value myself. My judgment is that it actually doesn't give us much. We don't get much analytical power out of it. It doesn't help clarify many problems. And that it can be on the margins. Now, that could be wrong. I'm not saying this is an authoritative decision. You know, you should all believe it just because I proclaim it. That's my judgment at this point in the development of these ideas. So in those terms, I have elaborated Marxism as being centered around three different nodes. So these are the kind of grand clusters, and then within each of them, there's all sorts of separate groups of concepts. One is Marxism as class analysis, the second is Marxism as a theory of history, and the third is Marxism as class emancipation. Marxism as class analysis centers around the problem of understanding variations in society on the basis of their class structures and class relations, in which class is therefore both something which you try to understand and explain and something you use to explain various things. If you study Marxism as class analysis, you can study all sorts of problems. Virtually any sociological question can be addressed through class analysis. I wrote a paper on the class, essentially an attempt at a class analysis of housework. It was an attempt to explore the gender division of labor within families.